Morning, church. The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. While you find that, it should be up on the screen shortly, but I just said good morning, I didn't even look at you, so I apologise for that. Good morning. You're all looking glorious. You look lovely, all of you. So, Jesus predicts his death. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned aside and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the things of God in mind, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come to his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Just going to begin by praying. God, we ask that you will add your blessing to the reading of your word. We pray you'll open our eyes, open our ears, open our understanding. Pray that what's said and done will be to your honor and glory. Flesh will not be glorified. We want to hear from you. So forget this human instrument. Just use me to your honor and glory. Not what I think, but your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the Calvary Road. Okay, I'm just going to test this. Okay, all right, never mind. the Calvary Road. Today I want to take you and share some reflections from a book called The Calvary Road. It's by a guy called Roy Henson. And this is a copy of the book here. Subtitled, The Way of Personal Revival. As a church, we know that we are in deep need of revival. As a community, we sense that need. As a nation, we see not only the need, but we read daily of the fear, the loneliness, the depression, the greed, murder, and hatred. Thank you. In the book of before we go any further, I'm going to ask a favour of you, just to make sure I don't put anybody to sleep. There's going to be several scripture references up on the screen as we go through, and I'd like us to read them together, okay? So the first one's going to be from Proverbs 14, verse 34. So in the book of Proverbs, we read this: "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." So how do we get back? How do we become the people that God has called us to be? In 2 Chronicles verse 7, chapter 7, verse 14, we read this: "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and they will heal their land." So where do we begin? How do we begin our journey? We begin in a place of brokenness. In essence, revival is the right relationship with God. We see his power demonstrated. We see his power demonstrated in our hearts and lives and service. His victorious life will fill us and overflow through us to others. First, we must learn to be broken. There we go. Make no mistake, being broken is painful, it's humiliating, but it's the only way. It's not I, but Christ, as we're told in Galatians 2, verse 20. And together we read, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord Jesus cannot fully live in us, fully reveal himself in us, until the proud self within is broken. This means the hard, unyielding self, which justifies itself, which seeks its own glory, which stands up for its rights and seeks not to bow, is broken. At last, it bows its head to God's will, gives up. The only way for Jesus is surrender. Surrender his rights, just as Jesus did, that the Lord might dwell in us, that he might be glorified in us. In other words, we die to self. A few weeks ago, we heard a testimony of a young man. Well, he was 40 at the time. He was at the top of his career. He had a career in finance. He earned a six-figure salary. Wife of his dreams, big house in the country, luxurious holidays. He had everything that this world deems successful. He became bored, and he placed a £5 bet. He didn't know what he was doing. He placed a £5 bet on Betfair. Unfortunately, he won. Now, that led to a spiral of loss. He lost his house. He lost his family. $750,000 in 3 years. He was completely destitute. He ended up going around his house with a bin liner, just collecting mementos, and then that was it. He said that he felt that God had allowed this to happen to get his attention. He had been pruned back to the roots, right the way down to nothing. And it didn't start there. He had actually grew up as a Christian, but he stopped having his quiet times. He stopped praying. He stopped reading the Bible. And then allowed boredom to get to sink in or set in. So he lost everything. Today he has been restored to his family. A wonderful story of reconciliation. They're rebuilding the trust that had been lost. But that was someone who took their eye away from God and was led astray. Cups running over. Brokenness is just the beginning of revival. Revival itself is being absolutely filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And that is victorious living. Just as water seeks the lowest place, so the moment God finds us abased and empty, his glory and power can flow in. It might help to just picture the human heart as a cup. We hold out to Jesus longingly. As he passes by, he looks in to see if it's clean so that he can fill it. This may be what David had in mind when he said, my cup is filled and runneth over. This revival is constant peace with God. God ruling our hearts, overflowing through us. The only thing that can dirty this cup is sin. Sin is any self-effort, self-seeking, self-pity during difficulties, self-indulgence, touchiness, sensitivity, and so on. Fanny Crosby wrote a wonderful hymn called Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour. Many of you probably remember it. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? We need to ask Jesus to show us what is in our cups that shouldn't be there. Show us what needs cleansing. This does not mean just mere cleansing from guilt and sin, but from the stain and the pollution that it brings. Last week, we were reminded of the words of Jesus to the woman caught in adultery. Jesus said to that woman, and he says to us, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. go your way and sin no more. He wasn't condoning the act of sin. He didn't say that was okay, forget about it. He called sin, sin. But he instructed her to go her way and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. Another wonderful hymn by William Cowper. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. And so it goes on. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God are safe to sin no more. As we continue, we're mindful of these things, the activities and actions that cause our cups to get dirty. This is what happens as we try to return to Calvary, asking forgiveness, cleansing. Let's not look to ourselves, but to look to our victorious Lord and praise him that he is still victorious. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since members of one body, and we are called to peace and be thankful. How can we know when sin has come in? I tell you, I think I need a lesson on this. I'm sorry. Okay, down one. Yeah, cool. How can we know when sin has come in? Anything that disturbs the peace of God in our hearts, no matter how small, that's sin. A literal translation could be this. When the referee of our hearts blows his whistle, the game has to stop. A foul has been committed. The peace of God is that referee. When that departs from us, we know that we've done something wrong. So we need to ask God to show us what's wrong. We immediately need to stop, ask his forgiveness, ask for his cleansing, and ask for that hunger of restored fellowship to be given to us. Many people today make the mistake of thinking that you don't have to come to church to be a Christian. The fact is, attending church doesn't make you a Christian. However, we need fellowship. We need training. We need to learn from God. We need to hear from God. In Hebrews 10:25, we read this. Not giving up on meeting together, as some are. Are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more of you see the day approaching. Also in Proverbs 27, we read this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So the way of fellowship. Tell you what. Next one. Yeah, cool. The way of fellowship. The work of the Lord Jesus on the cross was not only to bring us into fellowship with God, but it's to bring us into fellowship with each other. We need each other. I was looking for... you know how we sometimes get the... Sometimes find it easier to see faults in others than we do ourselves? There's a wonderful cartoon. Let's see if I can find it. Whoops. Sorry. If we go down to the cartoon. Sorry, Richard. Yeah, that one. Okay. Now that cartoon there. You know the passage that talks about the mote in your eye and the chip in someone else's. So it's a splinter in someone else's eye. You're trying to remove it with this plank in your eye. If you look at the body language, the person with the plank is totally unconcerned, he's totally relaxed. And he's saying to this, what's he saying? You really need to get that moat looked at. And yet the guy's only got a small thing. When we come to the cross, we're less critical of others. Their worries, their faults are nothing compared to what God has done for us. Jesus, in his brokenness, he gave up everything. So why are we hung up about other people? You know, we're out on the streets every week on outreach, and sometimes you'll hear people say, I don't go to church, they're full of hypocrites. People doing this, people doing that. But what concern is that to you? Because you have to appear before God. So let's not get hung up on other people's faults. Let's seek God for ourselves. Let's come to his throne of grace for ourselves, because we are in need. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art blessing, do not pass me by. We are in need. Don't worry about other people. So what are the things that can knock us off track? What are the things that can distract us and pull us to one side? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of this world. Instead, they are divine to the demolishing of strongholds. We tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Jesus was aware of the need of fellowship with his Father. Regularly, he would go to one side and just seek God for strength, for direction. If that's Jesus making time, how much more us? We're just frail human beings, often misguided, often fallen. Sometimes we get up, we're going on okay, and all of a sudden somebody bumps into us, it becomes a problem. But if you're so full up with Jesus, if you're overflowing, that ceases to be a problem. That's where he wants us to be. He wants to fill us up. He wants to give us his power so that we don't have to worry about other people. So there's another really good illustration of someone just... Oops. Okay, I'll give up. There's someone, in fact, if you turn to the guy holding his hands just like that, he's on a football pitch, he's been accused of fouling or doing something, and he says, not me, Gov, not me, ref. But it just captures how we protest our innocence. So it wasn't me, it was the other guy. Just like the Garden of Eden, sin tends to make us hide. So rather than have that fellowship with God, we want to hide, we want to make excuses, so we're running away. But we're called back. We're called back again and again to serve. The next picture asks us, are we ready to be servants? Do you remember Jesus? There's two words for servant. There's bond servant. Bond servant is the one that isn't paid. He belongs to his master. He has to do what he's told. He has no rights whatsoever. And then there's the hired servant. The hired servant gets a wage. He's employed. The word Jesus chose to use of himself was bond servant. So he stripped himself of rights so that he could serve us. This is the Son of God. So when we say, do you know who I am? When we give it the big one, we're thinking we're better than this. Think of Jesus, the Son of God, who gave himself for us, stripped of his rights willingly, just like the lamb. He came to earth as a lamb, humble. The picture there, if you remember the Last Supper, where he willingly took on the robe of the servant, played the role of the lowest servant, and washed the disciples' feet. They're living in that time, open sandals, open sores. Disgusting, basically. Nobody else wanted to do it. The other disciples are there arguing over who's more important than the other. Jesus took on that role. He washed the disciples' feet, and he made no distinction, even with Judas. He came and washed his feet just like he did the others. He didn't say, I'm not going to wash your feet. And when he would betray him in the garden with a kiss, he didn't draw away. He came to him for the kiss. This is how Jesus is humble. This is how we need to be. Broken and willing to serve. So Jesus, the bond servant. In Philippians it says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourself. Sure, we're going to have differences, we're going to upset one another, but let's take it to the cross. Years ago there was a story told of two sisters who came to the same church. It wasn't this church, but some time ago they'd had a disagreement. One would sit on one side, the other t'other side. They wouldn't speak to each other. They would say, tell your friend to pass the hymn book, or tell your friend whatever. How can you worship God together and not speak to your sister or your brother or your neighbor? See, if we have fellowship with God, we have to walk in the light. In God, there is no darkness, not even a little bit. So if you've got anything against someone, you need to put it right. So when we come to God and ask for forgiveness, we're not just required to ask God for forgiveness. We sometimes, and this is the hard bit, we sometimes have to go to a physical person and say, look, I did you wrong, or I made a mistake, I'm sorry. It's not easy, but that's what we're called to do. Humility. You're putting someone else's interests first. What is the consequence of not doing that? Suppose we say, well, I prefer to just not do that. Thank you very much. I'd rather not lower myself. The consequence is when you come to appear before God on the last day and he says to you, I want you to give an account for your life. I want you to tell me what you did with all those chances, all those blessings, all the things that you asked me for. And what can you say? It'd be like that. But that's no good. Let's go to God. He was humble. He gave himself for us. He gave everything. And that's what he's asking of us. Hold nothing back. Simple Lamb of God. Just humbly gave himself because he loves us. In Matthew 6:15, just after we're taught the Lord's Prayer, it says this, but if you do not forgive others your sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Simply put, there's no room for grudges. No room for disagreement, minor rubbish. It's not worth it. Let's look to God and ask him to cleanse us. Ask him for the strength and power to be the people, the broken people, that he can restore, that he can use, that he wants to be glorified through. It's costly. That's the road to Calvary. When Jesus went through Calvary, it wasn't easy, but he did it for us. And that's what he's asking for you. From you, from me, from us all. Honesty, sincerity, and sacrifice. So yes, it starts with brokenness. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Only those who are holy. Only those with clean hearts. We mustn't allow ourselves to get drawn into petty squabbles. We're better than that because of what he's done, not because of us. He will give us the strength. If we need to have that difficult conversation, he will give us the strength. In brokenness, in sincerity, thankful for the sacrifice of the spotless lamb. Now, earlier on, I spoke about the need for fellowship. Another reason we have fellowship is we encourage each other. And Michael, when he was diagnosed with cancer, he was given a 2-year, I have to say, estimation. That was the prognosis, around 2 years. He wasted no time. He said, I'm going to use that time to encourage others. I'm going to try and be upbeat. I'm going to try and be positive as much as I can. So what he did, he set up a Facebook page. And we had no idea that his dream or that vision would reach so many people. But all over the world, we were getting responses back of how Michael had encouraged. One particular email read something like this. I'm only here today because Michael encouraged me. I'd lost my partner. I was about to end it. But he gave me encouragement and walked with me so that I could still be here today. So he's only alive today because of that encouragement that he received from Michael. That's our role. We need to see people and try and encourage them. Okay? So we come to the cross. Finally, I'm just going to read the words of this song. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown, have broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you died for us. We thank you that you did not count your royalty, your divinity, too important to lose, to strip all of those trappings away, to come down as a humble baby, come and serve your creatures, come and die for your creatures, come and pay the price for our sins. We thank you that your outstretched hand is calling us home. It's calling us back to you, back to restoration, back to reconciliation, back to fullness, newness of life, back to a place of overflowing, back to a place of refreshment. So, Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his example, not willing to revile, although reviled against, willing to forgive those who weren't even repentant, those who were not even sorry for what they were doing. Help us, Father God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us to do the same. So when called upon, let us be the first to apologize. When called upon, let us make those awkward conversations. Let us be vulnerable. Let us be honest and open. Because you cannot use dirty cups. Cleanse us by your blood. Forgive us for our sins. Help us, Father, to be yielded to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, what a blessing. Sort of feel like we've had a chance this morning to like read through a chapter of Proverbs from the New Testament, gaining gems of insight and wisdom to strengthen us and encourage us in the Lord. And what a blessing that is, Len. We thank God for you. We've got a brother and sister team this morning. Donna's going to be joining us now. One of the great Psalms, Psalm 121, says this: I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the noon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And as we continue now to transition from the message this morning into the testimony of this Memorial Day service, we are reminded that the Lord, in that beautiful verse at the end of that great psalm, will preserve us. He'll preserve our going out and our coming in. He'll preserve us when we leave the church this morning and when we come back by God's grace next Sunday, by His grace. He will preserve us when we leave this earth and cross through the valley of the shadow of death. And He will take us in, those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so our hope this morning is that the gems that we've heard in the message will strengthen us to that day where we cross over. And there is our hope. He will preserve our going out and our coming in.